What is up, everybody? We are covering The Outsider, so the entire family gets wiped out. The main characters in two places at once, a hooded individual ends up lurking in various spots, and a kid who looks like he's 12 boosted the mysterious van. Let's go, let's get it.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
We are you a DJ?
In the building.
DJ Lim Gonzalez in the building, everybody?
Yeah, not this music. You get my hood pass revoked. You know I'm a sensitive thug. What's up, everybody? You know what it is, the Outsider after show. Super excited. Yes, 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 yes. Brand new show, HBO, and we are covering it. I'm your host, Lim Gonzalez, a.k.a. Uncle Lim, a.k.a. the sensitive thug. Yes, and I got my goons with me. I'm so excited. You know, we are the Affair crew. Fair is over, so we had to do another show, and this was it, and we picked it. And right now, I got Allison Dean with me. What's up, Allison Dean?
So happy to be here, Lim.
Yes, yes. And the incomparable, the amazing, she's from Alabama. And she's a fan. April Wizard Hit is in the building.
I'm so excited we're all together.
Yes.
And
yes.
For the show and for HBO, because, like, holy smokes.
All of it. I am super excited for everything that's going on.
Oh, yeah.
This show is incredible. Also, shout out to engineer Ryan, who is holding it down. We are working with her first time, and I'm super excited. And, you know, Ryan, if you want to chime in.
In the booth.
Just do it. In the booth with an F. That's what's going on.
Because he is a Stephen King super fan. He definitely should be chiming in.
I mean, he should be. He should be. But he's going to. I believe he will.
I feel it.
As we continue this season.
I'll chime in.
Yes, yes. I love it. So, ladies, what did you all think of this? We got two episodes to cover.
Yeah.
These two episodes we watch on the show.
Action-packed, gripping, suspenseful. My heart was pounding. On a side note, I was on the Bloodline after show, so I am a super fan of Ben Mendelsohn.
Ben Mendelsohn is good, yes.
I'm very happy to see him not in a villain role, since every time I see him in a film, he seems to be the bad guy.
Well, he started off as the bad guy, but
well,
yeah.
Thinking he was doing good.
Sure,
so
sure.
Thinking right. He was like punishing a child killer and then realizing,
true.
Oh, in fact, this is a mystery. So anyway, I'm super excited about the whole thing, and I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah. Ben Mendelsohn just carries the show so far for me. I mean, everyone in this cast is so amazing. Obviously, Jason Bateman directing, producing, and acting in the show. It's an all-star cast for sure. But just, I'm a massive Stephen King fan. So to see kind of what he's doing with this character, and when I was looking for news about the show, it's all like, everyone talks about, everyone who's like reviewed the season already talks about how amazing he is. And it is. It's just like, I kept trying to look at the hooded figure to be like, okay, obviously this is going to be a major thing in this. We know this TV show is adapted from Stephen King's novel, obviously. But I'm like, is this a man? Is this like a tree face man? Because I don't know. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I will say that, first of all, I am a huge Jason Bateman fan.
Yes.
So I want to do this show because it was Jason Bateman. I did not know he had, was directing and producing. I knew he was starring in it. So that made it even better because he obviously did that with Ozark. And I'm a huge fan of Ozark.
Yes.
Shout out to that show. So, yes. And Ben Mendelsohn is definitely, I did see Bloodline. Also seen him in some other things. And I really like what he does with characters.
Absolutely.
And so I'm really curious. Yeah, we got it up on the screen. I'm really like intrigued with the show. This show definitely draws you in.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of Stephen King, you know how he is with this. And I do appreciate, I think for me, I like shows that are based on novels as opposed to movies, because there's so much you can do with the characters. There's so much you can do with the plot.
Right.
And especially when you end each episode and you're just like, oh my gosh. And it makes you, you know, excited about what's going to happen next.
Right.
So I do appreciate that, and I know we're going to get a lot of those cliffhangers as we continue with the season with the show. But man, like, to have an entire family like almost, I mean, like the dad is almost dead.
Yeah.
Like in those two episodes, that's crazy.
Just wiped out.
Yes, and it's like so much, like there's so much you can infer because you have that hooded individual who we got a glimpse of, and he looks like the Elephant Man, but kind of, dark figure.
Yeah.
And we know that he's somehow, obviously, involved mm-hmm. with what's going on. Mm-hmm. But then we see that with Jason Bateman's character, we see that literally he's in two places at once.
Yep.
And it's discovered. You got fingerprints in this van. And just so we can break down the episode and starting it out, we see it starts off with this kid being murdered.
Right.
Who is obviously, you know, this is a small town. So it's one of those, you know, in the South, everybody knows everybody. Mm-hmm. So this kid gets murdered. He's found by this individual, but not just murdered, like eaten.
Mutilated.
Yes.
Literally mutilated. They talked about him being sodomized, teeth bitten.
Everything. Yeah. Terrible. And then all of a sudden, we find that Jason Bateman's character, he is the one that is, you know, people are saying that he's seen.
Right.
And so all of a sudden, we see Detective Ralph, he goes after him, and then it starts the spiral, mm-hmm. and then it gets crazy. Mm-hmm. And his name is Terry, Jason Bateman's name is Terry, and Detective Ralph. And it's just like, I don't know, when you saw that happening, you saw the when people, the witnesses were like, okay, describe, and they're showing, and you see like his face full of blood, his clothes full of blood, he goes into the strip club, the girl sees him, he's literally, he goes to the cab, tells him to call that, you know something's up, but what are you thinking?
I was in disbelief. So I think when we first saw him pull up in the van, mm-hmm. And, you know, we clearly recognized that it was Terry in the mm-hmm. van. I was then trying to piece together how it could not have been him mm-hmm. After seeing that he was at that conference, too.
Right.
So the whole time I was trying to find, you know, that one indication of what is it that's, you know, identifying him not being the real Terry, because everything else, I mean, DNA, I mean, it's all Terry.
Right.
So I don't know. That my brain was like doing that whole episode. Like, what is it?
Same for me, but just seeing him, you know, with the look on his face, like especially when he sees the little girl when he comes out of the woods and says, you know, a branch hit him in the face with the blood all over his mouth. Seeing his face, my mind started going, okay, look at how he's just like shook, or there's nothing behind his eyes
the whole time. Yeah.
Right. And that could just be because he just murdered a little boy.
Sure.
But when you see him in the other parts, when they're actually, you know, when he's in jail, when they're questioning him, all of that stuff, and then versus when he's at the conference, that looks like a person. That mm-hmm. looks like whatever.
That's
and obviously
true.
I have my, you know, Stephen King mm-hmm. here in my mm-hmm. head thinking about it. But I was also thinking the same thing. I was like, okay, maybe he could have left the conference, maybe yada, yada, yada. But I was also like, the one guy was right where he was like, when Howie, the lawyer, was like, you didn't even question him? You didn't even ask, whatever? And they're, I mean, why would you though? Because you have fingerprints all over.
Video.
You have video. Mm-hmm. You have every bit of evidence you could possibly need. But it was still like, I mean, I guess they should have questioned him.
Well, I mean, it's one of those situations where you're like, okay, when we first, you know, get a hold of and see Detective Ralph, and he goes to the game, right? And he's like, I want you to arrest him in front of everyone. Mm-hmm. He literally, it appears at that point, I'm thinking, okay, he has a vendetta against him. So he obviously feels like, you know, witnesses have placed him. He didn't have to do it. And even one of the officers in the car was like, well, that's not protocol.
Right.
So, but he's like, I don't care. I want it done in front of everyone. We know that there's something there. And, you know, as we see later, mm-hmm. there was the situation where he's with his wife mm-hmm. and they're visiting their son who has passed away. And it was his son's birthday. And so we see that he had a son that passed away. And so they're celebrating his birthday. But then even further than that, when we see Terry is in prison mm-hmm. and he goes to visit him on the late night, and they have that dialogue about his son, because he's like, yo, you asked me about your son if I touched him.
Right.
And he goes on this spiel about the whole bunting and how he taught him how to bunt, and he starts to get emotional, and he's like, I hope that I touched him, which was a dope scene.
It was amazing.
It was an amazing scene. Yeah. And like, it was, and then he walks off.
Yeah.
And it's just like mic drop.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering why, because I didn't really get, like, obviously he was doing his job, but mm-hmm. there had to have been something to why did you, maybe I missed it, but why he was so adamant about arresting him in front of everyone.
I think because it's a child. that was, and it wasn't just a child that was murdered. It was a lot of bad things, literally mutilated, happened to this kid. And because everything that Ralph had that was so damning, like, it was clear proof, evidence. Ralph had the evidence that he had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, against Terry. That it was Terry. Yeah, yeah.
It's like, okay, this dude did all of this crap to this kid. He deserves to be
humiliated.
Like, who cares? Because you humiliate the child killers. Just like when he gets in prison and they're like, oh, that's the child killer. And you hear stories that, like, the people who do that to kids, which, I mean, maybe it's a good thing for people out there to know, like, you don't really survive when you're known as doing this to a child.
Of course, which is why we got the scenes with the guy threatening him.
It's got to be also just because of him, of Ralph being just, you know, traumatized from his own son's death. We don't really know the circumstances behind that, obviously.
Right.
But I'm guessing it was obviously something very bad. A kid doesn't typically just drop dead. Now, they do sometimes, but, like, we don't know. So I'm guessing something happened. It's that. It's just the sheer, or that's what I think anyway.
You think it's the sheer fact that the victim was a child from the neighborhood, and because he was marked as the witness.
Right.
Okay. Because for me, it's hard for me to grasp that. I understand the severity, especially of how the kid died and what happened to him. But my thing is, if this is small town mentality, and where, again, everyone knows everybody, it's like, you bring them in, it's like, hey, look, this is what we got going on.
Right.
We got witnesses that say, and you pull them, like, it's not a situation. Did you do this? Like, tell me if you did, and we'll get it. But the fact that he wanted, like I said, almost like he had, I personally believe, early prediction, but the fact that of how his kid died somehow had something to do with Terry, which is why he would have something against him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's possible, but he admitted when he was in therapy that he was still grieving for his son.
Sure.
And so it's still raw for him on some level. And so I think, you know, I agree with April. He wants to punish anyone that could possibly have harmed a child. And in his mind, at that moment, when he was in that car saying, you know, I want you to do this to him, all that evidence that he had at that point convinced him there is no, you know, he wasn't at some teacher's conference with an alibi.
Right.
This was for sure him in this city doing that disgusting thing. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the reaction.
I think, like, on what you were saying, clearly he has a lot of involvement in, he's an English teacher, he's the Little League coach, meaning Terry. So maybe in some way he did, or maybe, like, obviously Ralph's son spent a significant amount of time with Terry, whether it be in class or here or whatever. Right. He definitely could have some sort of involvement, but it's probably also just the worry behind his mind. Like, my kid isn't here anymore. Oh my God. I sent my kid with this man alone many, many, many times. Like, that could have been my kid that this thing happened to.
Yeah.
Okay.
You never know.
Yeah. So as we continue on with the story, we find out that he's, you know, they do arrest him. They're trying to talk to him. He's not budging.
Yeah.
He says, I want my attorney. I want my attorney. His attorney comes. And they kind of talk about, and basically he gives them eventually his alibi, like what he was. And he starts telling them, I was at this conference. This is what I was doing. And so they end up finding the video that shows that he was there.
Here are these two people that were with me. And then they ask, why didn't you talk to us sooner?
Right, right. And then all of a sudden we see that the detective actually goes, because they find out, like, well, how else could he prove that he's there?
Right.
And so he goes, thinking in the same mentality, to get the information before the little detective could, the little PI that he was sending out. And then all of a sudden gets that book that has the fingerprints that no one else would have touched. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, he wants to find out. But that's when I feel like he's changing his course he's feeling to him.
Absolutely.
Because he's like, wait a second, how can he have, he's got the, and they find the fingerprints. He's like, the fingerprints match from the van and this book. Mm-hmm. And when he just was booked into prison or into jail. So how is this? Something is not right. Mm-hmm. And something has to be awry. So I at this point, do you think, because I'm thinking initially, of course, because of Stephen King, right? We all got to remember Stephen King.
Right.
I'm thinking that the hooded weird guy that shows up weird is like a shapeshifter.
Right.
Wait, don't laugh. And then he can morph into people's bodies and do these things I don't know why yet.
Yeah.
But that's how he's able, and it ends up being the same fingerprints and the blood type and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, it's got to be.
I mean,
right?
It's
got to be. Like, that's literally the only explanation I can think of. At this point.
Right.
Yeah.
So you guys agree with me?
I'm in total agreement. Okay. I thought the same thing. But even just like the way he walks and because of the people. I mean, what doesn't make sense is that, like, I mean, obviously the family of the kid that died, like we talked about, they all end up dying in one way or another.
Yes.
But I'm almost like, did the shapeshifter have like an effect on them? Because I'm guessing, we didn't see how the mom died, but I'm guessing it was like she took something because she went ballistic and then she was in the hospital and died.
So let's look at that real quick.
Yeah.
Because we see, of course, the kid, right?
Right.
You're talking about the young kid. Yeah. Okay. So if we break that down, because the family was targeted. Mm-hmm. Like, if you really want to break it all the way down, because of the succession. So the initial kid dies, right?
Right.
Brutally. Then we see the mom. She goes, she's at dinner, goes ballistic, and then all of a sudden she appears to have a heart attack.
I feel like it was after the house. After, like, you know, where all the, because it's, they have that big spread on the table. So to me, that wasn't dinner for just them. It was.
Oh, yeah, because it was like snacks and pretzels and stuff. So you mean like after maybe the kid's funeral or whatever?
Yes.
Okay. So regardless, family's there.
Yeah.
Then she appears to have a heart attack. Yeah. So then.
Flips out.
Right. So she's done. Mm-hmm. Then we see that they're picking out caskets for her and the son. Kind of camera zooms in.
You guys saw that so clearly.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, immediately, I'm like, he's gonna go after.
Oh yeah.
He's gonna go after Terry.
Especially when they said the like 2-for-1 thing, or not exactly. 2-for-1, but they're like, because you're buying two, I can
20% discount.
Off. Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's that crazy. Cuts. Yeah, that cuts hard.
Yeah.
So obviously he's processing that. So we then see Terry coming into court to be arraigned. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden he comes out, he's covered. I know exactly it's him.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Right. So he starts shooting and basically kills a couple of cops.
Yeah. This kid is a freaking sharpshooter.
Right. He must have been hunting or something. Like, he must be a good hunter.
He got a lot of shots out. Yeah.
He did. And then shot Terry in the neck, ends up getting shot by, our detective friend. And then dies.
Yeah.
He's done. But then Terry, this is the part that gets me. So Terry is losing all this blood and his...
It was the carotid.
Right. Yeah, that's what it looked like.
Losing all the blood. And then he, you know, before he goes, mm-hmm. he says, I didn't do it. His wife is there. They're trying to get the ambulance. He says, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, did he die? Did he not? Because I'm like, wait, this is the main character.
Yeah.
And you said that he's in the entire season.
He is. Every episode. According to IMDb.
Right. So I'm like,
whoa. Does he have a twin?
Right.
An evil twin. I don't know.
So that then perplexed. I'm like, dang, well, Stephen King.
Then fingerprints would be different.
Right.
Right?
So then I'm like, okay, if he's in the entire time, I'm thinking, is it a flashback situation?
It could be.
And then they go back and they're trying to retrace how all that. Because when it ended, again, we covered 2 episodes. Mm-hmm. When the second episode ended, they're talking about what happened. They're retracing the steps and they're talking about that van and going to the barbecue spot and they're trying to figure out how the connection was made with the van and the family.
Yep.
Because remember he said, it's like the van is following you.
Right.
Yep.
So there has to be something with that. But if he dies, again, we'll find out. It's a lot.
Yeah. It's so much.
But my thing is, then he's gone.
Yeah.
Right? So then it's just the dad left. And then what does the dad do? And I'm like, this poor dad lost his son, both sons, and his wife within
days
or weeks or whatever. And then he goes to hang himself.
Well, what did I say to you? I turned to you right after the kid was shot, the older kid, and I said, the dad's going to kill himself.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, it's... And then, but then the crazy part about that happening is that we see that figure.
Right.
And he's there.
I know.
And as soon as he hangs himself, he walks away.
I know.
So it's like this, what is going on? And I mean, obviously this is a series, so they got to, spread it out.
Right.
But I'm like, what is it that, because it's like, they got to find out what is going on, how it's connected to the family, because it seems like it's connected to Terry's family, mm-hmm. right? Because they're saying it's following Terry, the van, but the other family is the one that's dying.
And why that family?
And why that family was chosen.
Yeah. Clearly an ominous presence, like whether it's like a shapeshifter or whatever we think it is. Maybe it's an evil twin of Terry's. I mean, that's a stretch, like, as far as, because the fingerprints and stuff like that. But you get what I'm saying. Like, there's a clear reason why this family was chosen and why this family was chosen. Mm-hmm. And, like, this presence in the form of this hooded figure, whatever this hooded figure is right, clearly basically, like, following up and making sure all of this stuff happened, because we see the figure outside of the courthouse, which we kind of assumed it would be there anyway, whenever the older kid that mm-hmm. shoots everybody gets shot.
Yeah.
So it's like the figure didn't physically kill these people. Obviously, they killed themselves or got killed.
Sure.
So it's like, yeah.
But did he have some strange, you know, so when the mother was going bananas,
crazy. Yeah.
I was thinking, is he somehow having some kind of a possession over her body? Yeah. Kind of similar to when Terry's daughter is, like,
I was
sitting
just gonna say that.
And,
yes,
like, seeing someone or, you know, something is in her mind.
And that happens several times.
Correct. Yeah. So that leads me to believe this hooded figure can not only take your shape, yeah, but can also infiltrate your mind. Mm. And that's where I'm like, okay.
She keeps seeing him. The little girl's like, yeah, he was here. The man was here.
Right.
And people always say kids can, like,
right,
see energies things, and feel things, energies, mm, a lot more than adults can.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why. She's young. I mean, we don't know how old she is, but mm, let's say, like, 5-6 years old-ish. Mm. And she, every single night. The worst, or the, like, the one where it seems like maybe he has taken over her mind a little bit is at the very end of episode two.
Right.
And she's literally just, like, sitting in bed and, like...
The mom is like,
and there's something weird, yeah, on the floor that we could not identify.
So well, it looks like blood.
Well, it looks like blood, but it also looks like the substance at the very end of season two. I mean, excuse me, episode two, that was on the pants, the jeans, when the guy's in the barn or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And he's looking and he sees the blood-ish, like, stuff, yeah, on the jeans. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. I saw it as the same thing that was on the floor in the room.
Yeah.
So somehow this shapeshifter creature, whatever, has some, if when he's around or when he, whatever he touches, he leaves that. Because then also remember, which we'll talk in a second, because we got another character introduced in episode two, mm-hmm, the hunter, mm-hmm, that connected to, you know, he's actually a police officer, even though he's crazy.
Right.
But when he's going to shoot that boar, that wild boar, mm-hmm, he gets called in to go. We don't know where he's going. We find out later he's a police officer.
Right.
But he goes to shoot him, doesn't, leaves, but
and
then the
see,
boar is dead.
Right.
But that, very like, dead, crazy blood stuff is there. I feel like it's the same thing.
Right.
So
that's a good point. I didn't even notice that.
I just, that's how I was correlating it together.
Right.
Because why else would they show the boar dead?
And why else would they focus on this substance for so long?
Correct.
Because you can clearly, like, your natural mind is going to be like, oh, yes, it's blood.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So there's got to be a reason why.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So speaking of that, since we're on that subject, we do see that another character is introduced. When we see him, he's hunting. We find out he goes to the strip club there and gets into a fight randomly with this, I mean, just over nothing.
The most atomic wedgie you've ever seen.
Oh, yeah,
just for a little comic relief right there.
Yo, that was...
That was like,
next
holy
level
stuff,
right there.
I was like, wait, are people still giving people wedgies? Like... You know, and this is present, and this is present, and this is present day. Because at first I was like, yo, these cars are old.
Right.
And then you're like, well, it's the 2000s? And then we see when they're watching the, you know, the video, it's 2019.
Right.
So it's like, okay, they're giving wedgies in 2019. That's
in Georgia, they are.
I guess so.
I mean, you know, I'm sure they're doing it everywhere. I bet we could find plenty of people in
that
Los
was
Angeles
a serious,
that are also doing it.
No, that was, I don't think so. I don't think they're doing it in LA. I'm pretty sure about that. But I guess this is in Georgia,
they're
giving wedgies in strip clubs, and the guy literally is like, oh, my booty.
Officers are.
Yeah, that part. And I'm just like, this dude, and obviously we're going to see more of him, mm-hmm, but he's bona fide crazy, and then we find out, hello, he's a police officer.
Right.
He actually works with our guy, Ralph, Detective Ralph. And the other detective that ended up getting shot, who was pregnant.
Right.
Oh.
She got shot in the leg with the brother who shot everybody. He's like the uncle.
Right.
So he's like the brother-in-law of her. So there's this massive connection. His name is, what was that called? Oh, I just had it. Oh, my gosh.
It happens.
Yes, I'll get it in a second.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm just like, what do you think of this guy? Like, what do you think he brings to the table?
fire. Well, I think it's that contrast, right? Because Terry is very level-headed, or at least we're getting that part of him where we're seeing that he's being very thoughtful of the fact that this doesn't add up.
Mm-hmm. His name is Jack, by the way.
And Jack seems a bit more of a loose cannon. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see how they develop his character for us, mm-hmm. in the sense of how he then is a problem solver. Or if he's just very reactionary and says, no, you know, here's the evidence, it makes sense, blah, blah, blah. So I think it's kind of TBD with him. I think we're getting this one aspect of him, but I'd like to not make any judgments yet until we kind of see him doing more actual police work.
Right.
So far, we've seen him do no police work. So, like,
but I'm just curious because when he goes crazy,
yeah.
at the strip club,
well, he's drunk too.
He's drunk, yeah. but he literally whoops this guy's ass,
right?
And then
he just wanted a little attention.
And then they kick him out like he's just some regular guy, like not a police officer in that district.
Well, they said, "Let's go, Jack," and they just kind of like
that's what I'm saying. Like he's a local,
He's a local. They just
but he's a police officer. Right. Like the point I'm making is,
and police officers are corrupt a lot of times.
Well, I feel like they would have beaten him or something. I feel as though if they knew he wasn't a cop, they would have been much more aggressive with pulling him off of the other guy. Like they would have done. I don't know. I've seen enough movies, so what can I say? Like I feel like there would have been some punches slung.
His character to me is kind of inconsequential at this moment. Like obviously, yeah, we don't really know. He's gonna do something, but
unless he gets possessed by the shapeshifter.
Yeah, there you go. It does seem like he and Ralph have a little bit of like a, let's say, hard edge toward each other. Mm-hmm. Just even like in the, I don't know. And it's like, you know, he's the person, Ralph is trying to figure all of this out. And maybe this guy is just, like you said, the fire that comes in. And he's just like, this is ridiculous, whatever.
Right.
But I don't. His character, to me, like, I just don't know enough to say, like, what he's going to do.
Well, there's only two detectives right now, right? So we mentioned that at the beginning of the episode. Terry, when he got to the crime scene, said, you know, the other detective is on vacation. Or
mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's why he got called in. Because he was off of work. Hence why he was hunting.
Yeah. Right.
And they're like, yo, we got you to come in.
So he's annoyed that he got pulled into work.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, if he's beating up people regularly, like
is this,
I'm just like, how is this dude a police? You know what I'm saying? In this, so it's just that part just sticks with me. The fact that he's running around doing these things and not getting in trouble for it.
Because the guy was literally like, "Call the police! What are you talking about?" And he was like, "Oh, ha 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 ha."
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, like, exactly.
Nothing's gonna happen to him
because he's a police officer.
Right.
I think the DA was whack.
Yeah.
Super whack.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came out like guns blazing, like,
wouldn't you too if you had all that evidence?
Well, the whole thing is, you know, and that's why they kept bringing it up, because he wanted to be reelected.
Right.
So obviously, and then even when they're interviewing, he's like, well, you know, the guy, he makes a great point. He's like, oh, well, you know, what about the evidence? Do you think you have enough? I mean, how do you feel about it? No, this has nothing, you know, I know you're being reelected. Right. Nothing to do with reelection. We just want to get, of course.
Yeah, it all
you know
has,
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But then we see that he bows out. He's like,
I was surprised about that.
He tells, now, what do you think the reasoning, like when you saw that, what do you think the reasoning for that is?
I mean, I'm going to get a little too technical here because I was looking at IMDb before and I noticed that he wasn't in many episodes. So I think he was literally just a figure to be there to kind of back Ralph up at first and to kind of scare Terry into maybe like saying something.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the moment in the first episode where he's like, the DA does not come out unless it's a clear, open and shut gold case. And look at him sitting here bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, basically to like scare him into saying something. But I think ultimately that's got to be the purpose of him being there because he's not in many more episodes.
I see.
I don't know. I don't know what else, but I think that it is interesting that he kind of backed out because
it was quick.
Yeah. In a lot of like thriller, horror movies, novels, whatever, television shows as well, a lot of times when things start like really going awry or start getting worse, like the people start dropping off and that's how things get worse. So like now the DA isn't going to run. He basically is stepping back from it altogether. You kind of get the impression of anyway. So I feel like that's when things start to kind of get a little fuzzy.
I think he realizes it's not an open shut case. Mm-hmm. And when everything turned into a bloodbath at that courthouse, I think that confirmed for him how much this is not open shut, this is very messy, and this is not necessarily the case that's going to get me reelected. So you know what? Why don't I take a little hiatus for a bit?
I mean, he's still convinced. Like, he was very convinced Terry still did it.
Yeah. Right.
Even though Ralph is changing his mind based on everything being inconsistent.
But it was also interesting when Terry was in there. No, when Ralph was in there talking to the DA, when they were having that conversation, and the DA was mentioning all that sort of supernatural, weird disappearance stuff from World War II, and I mean, I thought, wait, is this guy now trying to say that there's some supernatural, you know, dealings here?
I feel like he was getting, that's what he was trying to kind of make sense, because obviously you have, there's no way physically possible he could have fingerprints in two places. But I think what he was doing is he was bringing up these historical times where things just didn't add up. But they happened.
But the fact that he was saying that means that when he was doing his on-camera interview saying, oh, yeah, he for sure did it, and then in private quarters with Ralph, he's saying what he said to him, then obviously he's going back on what he's actually thinking about how definitive it was that Terry actually committed the crime.
It, that makes me think about, because I'm thinking of them talking about Ralph going to therapy after, you know, shooting the kid and stuff like that. And when the therapist says, because they talk, that that's why I think ultimately the DA stepped down. Like, when you get a case where the suspect is murdered by the victim's brother, whose mom just died and is a kid himself, obviously that's going to muddle things up a bit. But for whenever the therapist later asks Ralph, he's like, what is significant to you about this? Like, what do you remember? And he looks, you know, he imagines the kid, like, on the ground. He moves the hat and sees the hole. And it's as if he, and I just kind of thought of this, it's as if he's, like, possessed. Now, obviously, he's dead. But, like, what do you see? You see his, like, really, really, really bright blue eyes. Like, just kind of, like, I don't know.
Interesting. I thought it was... As I mentioned at the top, Merlin, the car thief, they go to this. First of all, I didn't even realize they were going to visit him, because they're like, they go, you know, they said, oh, you know, we placed him in, you know, foster care. Right. So he's obviously not 18. But when he comes out, I'm like, this kid is 12. And he was like,
that's a grown kid right there.
I'm like, but he's little. Like, I'm like, he's boosting, like, literally, this kid was boosting cars and sleeping in them at this young, young age. And so they go talk to him, and of course, you know, Ralph wants to kind of find out, because, you know, he got the barbecue spot, he found out where it was, so he's like, all right, I need to see what's going on. Piece this together. So then he goes, and then, you know, that's when he asks him all these questions. The kid is reluctant at first. Then finally he's like, you know, did you see times? Kind of he's trying to pinpoint, right? And then he talks about the marks that were on their foreheads, which signifies Ash Wednesday. So they look up Ash Wednesday. Okay, it was March 6th. All right, so now we got a time where he was there, when the family was there, all of that happening. That's when he then stops by his Glory's house, and she's not happy about him seeing him at all. But she's like, and then he asks for help, and she's just like flabbergasted, like, you asking me for help? Like, he's like, I really don't think your husband did it, so I really want to find out who killed Frankie.
Clear his name.
Who really killed him. And so then, you know, they end up talking with the her attorney present. And so then that's when they start talking about, okay, where were you guys at? You know, in Dayton. They talk about the barbecue restaurant. She at first is like, I don't remember that. We were doing a bunch of stuff. You know, he was there to visit his father. We kind of hung out. And then that's when we hear Maya, one of the daughters.
I love when the kid drops knowledge.
Right.
I love when that happens.
Yeah, it's just like, he got a cut. So they're like, wait, what?
And there was a pig restaurant.
Yeah, it was, Mom. And so then, you know, she explains, because the mother doesn't realize. Glory does not remember. Kids have really great memories, by the way.
Yes, they
do. They have extremely great memories. And then she said, you know, he got it visiting Grandpa, and mentions that it was a nurse, a male nurse. He somehow was like, he bumped into the nurse, and in the process of wet floor, Hello.
In this moment, Lem, I literally was thinking so many things.
Oh, same.
I was thinking, oh, because somehow he also got a cut. So I'm thinking, okay, so they touched each other. Is this guy the shapeshifter? Is he able to now take on, you know, mm-hmm. Terry's whole being?
Right.
The cut thing I'm confused about. Because
I was like, that's how they got the blood. Because he got a cut, so somehow he got his blood.
The connection.
I mean, it would have been
But then I was trying to piece it to the other family, you know, the family where everyone kind of
died. Yes.
So then I was like, well, that doesn't make sense because we didn't see, and there's no touching. Well, we don't know that yet because we don't know how many flashbacks are going to start happening. Right?
Sure.
Anyway, my brain was doing loop-de-loops.
Yeah. It was, but I think it what it did bring is it brought like, okay, now we can see where this possibly would have happened.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because obviously if you bring up having a cut, and then he bumped into this male nurse, and then the van and all that kind of stuff. Because remember, going back to what the detective said, it's like the van followed you.
Yeah.
Right. So that's where all of that happened. That's how the connection was made with the van being there, even though they flew. They didn't drive the van.
Right.
They flew back and forth. Somehow a connection was made. And then that's where we get to where we are now.
Right.
So, yeah, it's crazy. That was at the very end prior to, like I said, what we saw in the, like, barn situation.
Right. Yeah, the barn, right? With all the clothes.
All
right.
His clothes.
And where was that barn?
Because he left his clothes, as far as we know anyway,
and the strip club. I was unclear of the clothes. So
No, those were the clothes that he was wearing without the blood. And those clothes then ended up bloody.
So, okay, yeah. So to say that again, because I was...
So the clothes that they zoomed in on at the very end of the episode.
The barn, yes.
Those were the pieces of clothing that he put on at the strip club that he changed into out of the other clothes. Because those are the clothes he was wearing on the camera at the train station.
Right. Yes,
you know, it was a clean white shirt, jeans, and the buckle. And then all of a sudden we're seeing these muddled clothes, bloody.
Right.
But we don't...
So those were the clothes that he left.
Yeah. Well, someone did.
Right. Interesting. Okay, that brings some clarity.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
I'm like, does it? It brings me some clarity.
Because I just didn't know where the clothes were from.
Well, because we have no idea how they got there because homeboy wasn't there.
Right. And he was looking like, where is these clothes from?
The kid that was in that barn, too, he was looking around as though he felt like someone was in that barn. And I was like, oh,
well, I feel like he was just looking like, where are these clothes from?
Yeah. But just the whole thing. He was looking at the stairs and just like looking up. And I was going, get some help, buddy.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
This is crazy. Let's get into news and gossip. Let's do that. Yes.
Awesome. Some lovely news and gossip from y'all. So just wanted to show a special clip from the premiere of The Outsiders. Just Jason Bateman basically saying how awesome everyone is and what it was like to, you know, star, act, produce, direct all of this stuff. And we got it coming up right here.
Booyah. And this is him, and where's the setting?
This is at the HBO.
Really proud of all the work that everybody did. It's just a big bunch of very, very talented people.
Well, there you go. See, short and sweet.
Uh-huh.
I love it. And then we also, we have met her, or you've seen her for one quick second, but she's going to be a very big part of the show, Cynthia Erivo. She just was nominated by the NAACP for 3 awards, including Outstanding Motion Picture for being a part of Harriet.
Yes, starring in Harriet.
Exactly. Outstanding Actress for Harriet, and then Outstanding Song Stand-Up. Also for Harriet. So shout out to her. I can't wait to be introduced more to her character.
And I was, we see her yet? Because I didn't.
You get like 2 glimpses of her.
Oh, okay. Because I was I was looking for her. And I was
maybe it was even in like a flash that we saw her. Like a coming up.
Gotcha.
But I saw her and I was like, oh, I'm going to see more about this.
Yeah. That was another thing when I saw that she's also part of the cast. I was like, yo, I'm really excited because she's an amazing actress.
Yeah. And we need a shout out to Cherry from
Cherry!
The affair is following us.
I was like, Terry is here.
I like that. I like the affair was following us.
Yeah.
Yes, dope. All right, predictions. I'm scared.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Man, there's so many places that can go. Go ahead, April.
I mean, the shapeshifter type thing is my best guess. I think the reason why this... I think the family... that everyone's dead now. I don't know their last name. But I think that they were targeted for a very specific reason. The Petersons, yes. I just don't know what that reasoning is. But I think that they were for sure specifically targeted, whether it be some sort of like force that they were targeted by. I hope we'll find out why they were as well.
Okay.
I definitely think, just based on the fact that we know Jason Bateman's going to be in the whole season, I think we're definitely going to get flashback. And I'm just wondering how much of the relationship he has with his father and whatever the trips he had to this nursing home. I don't know. I just think that there's something maybe mysterious there that we've yet to uncover, clearly. We're in two episodes, right?
Yeah.
But I obviously think it has to be some kind of a weird shapeshiftery type being
situation.
Yeah.
I have to agree with you on that. We know he died in this episode. So if he comes back, he has to come back in, you know, previous.
Right.
And obviously they're leading us.
Well, that'd be really weird if he doesn't. People see him walking around.
Right. He's like, just chilling. I was like, oh, I thought you died. So I think what we're going to see is they're going to basically it's going to move into like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
They're going to have to go back in time, right? And either back way, way back, because it could have been a situation where you see sometimes where people are targeted. It's something that they did in their past.
Yeah.
Something that happened in their way, way past.
Right.
And then it comes back to haunt them or what have you.
Right.
But in this case, I think they're going to at very least go back to how he was infected, you know, this cut situation, for this to even happen, where this shapeshifter, where he comes from, you know, is this an alien situation, you know, Stephen King again, we got to remind ourselves, it can go a lot of different directions.
Anything is possible.
Yeah. So, but I think they're going to have to go back, and that's why we're going to continue to see him, because they're going to go back in time and in the past and kind of develop and show us how we get to the point where we are today.
Right.
And it may be, what's interesting is the family may just be a random family. It may not be like necessarily targeted. It may have just been a random situation. And then what we saw them all dying is just a cause and effect type situation. But we do know that, you know, his family, Terry's family, the Maitlands were definitely targeted. Mm-hmm. And especially the fact that this being keeps visiting the girls.
Yep.
Right?
One of them. Yeah.
Well, yes. Visiting and then affecting that and still, you know, and then obviously Terry, you know, in his whole situation.
Right.
So it's all interesting. But
lots.
I'm definitely intrigued.
Yeah.
I'm definitely hooked. I think this is going to be a good series. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a lot of twists and turns. I think there's going to be some things we're like, yo. And I think we're spoiled because they gave us two episodes. So now it's going to go back to the regular hour. And we're going to be like, dude, really? This is it? This is all you're going to give us? So, but, you know, it's we'll HBO programming. You know how they do. You know what I'm saying? But I like it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's been the Outsider After Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Everybody in live chat, make sure we will get to you. Make sure you stay tuned. Comment when this is on YouTube. Make sure you let us know how you feel about this season, about the episodes we covered. We want to know. Give us your thoughts. I have been your host, Lim Gonzalez. You can follow me everywhere at Lim Gonzalez. And I'm going to spell it because y'all need to be following me. I need more followers. So LimGonsalves, Lim Gonzalez. Type it in. Follow Allison Dean. Where you at?
I'm at the Allison Dean. Very easy breezy. And I feel like the audience this season is going to be very importante in helping us with some of our predictions because clearly we need help.
No spoilers. It is a novel. Spoilers.
Good note, April. Good note.
Thank you. And I'm April Wissenhant. Y'all can find me everywhere at April Wissenhant. It will be spelled in the description because it is too long for you.
Description spelling. Ladies and gentlemen, we will see you next week.
Peace.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.